can't hear anybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. How's everybody doing? Let's get everybody here.
I didn't print the sheet, so you're gonna put
I'm gonna display it, yeah. Let me pull this up now.
Great. How is everybody?
Thank God. We are all well. Family's all well in their varied and scattered places.
Morning, everybody.
Oh, I see.
Morning.
Weird background. Wait. Oh,
I like your background.
Yeah, I'm gonna come back to Earth.
Yeah, I realize that's the most important thing about these video lectures is have the right background. So I picked my bookcase, had it carefully arranged, so you're impressed with how intellectual I am.
Oh, here's a good one.
Well, I like that.
I have no idea how to do that, so I'll forget it.
No, it's very easy.
You're a half green. Oh.
That's my flashlight.
Oh, okay.
What? It holds my iPad up so I can look straight ahead.
Look at this one, Janet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, very nice. I like it.
You recognize it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Janet Schaffner.
And now I'll get started.
Phyllis, do you know how Eddie's doing?
Can you see the sources?
Well, last night, the only email... Are we still on?
Yeah, you're on.
Oh, I got a very short email from Robin that the day was quiet and his fever was going down, but he was still on the ventilator.
Oh.
Okay.
This is for...
Can you give this learning to Eddie Piro? Hold on, I got to see her name.
It's...
Rafael, they changed his name. Rafael, you do it.
For Rafael, say one more, Rafael.
El Yehuda Alter.
Rafael Yehuda Alter.
Yeah, Ben Devora.
Ben Devora. Okay.
Yeah. And also anybody else who is suffering through this terrible scourge.
Yeah. First time for the planet.
Amen.
So I saw a new product that was advertised, are glasses for Zoom, so they don't glare.
Oh, interesting.
Is that Ruthie?
Yeah, hi Ruthie.
Ruthie there. Hi.
Okay. Sorry I messed up on Friday. I really wanted to hear that class. It looked really good and my brain went off. Turned off completely.
I'll try it. Post some of the, at least the audios on there. I don't know how much it's going to cost to put the videos on there. Try to get it together. Okay, let's start. We are just about on source 37. We're talking about the wise woman of Tekoa. Where we are, Avshalom is David's son. He's effectively the firstborn right now. He feels he should be the crown prince, but he's in exile in Geshur with his maternal grandfather. Maternal grandfather. And Yoav wants to bring him back, so he sends this Isha Chochma from Tekoa, who gives him a whole story about two brothers who killed each other, one killed the other one, and now we need to forgive this murderer or accused murderer, because otherwise the entire family is going to fall apart, the legacy will be gone. And then eventually David realizes that this is not an actual court case. This is not an actual thing. This is a mashal. This is a metaphor. And Yoav set her up to try to convince him to allow Avshalom to come back. I'm trying to talk about what the meaning of chachma is. And we point out there's one other place where there is an isha chachma later on in source 37, Perek Chaft. When there is a rebellion against David, after Avshalom, Kimzlum's back at peace, and then one of Shaul's family, from Binyamin, starts a rebellion, and then this rebel runs and hides in a city called Avela Beit Macha, and David sends the army out after them. And that was source 37. Vayavo yatsur ala bavela beit macha. And Yoav is leading the army and he is besieging Avela beit macha. Vayishpuchu solola. And they literally paved a road, El Ha'ir. They established a siege, Vatamo Bachel, and they were standing on the ramparts. Habachol Amasher et Yoav, Mashkitim la Pilachoma, and all the people who were with Yoav are championing the bit to knock down the wall. They're going to destroy the city where this rebel is hiding. And a wise woman calls out from the city. Shimu Shimu Imruna El Yoav, go listen to me, call Yoav, Krav ad Heinav adabra elecha, bring him here and I will talk to you. Anuchi Shlomi Emuni Yisrael, I am a person of peace, I am one of the faithful of Israel. You're going to wipe out an entire city. V'aim b'Yisrael, our mother in Israel, that's me. Lama tibla nachal Hashem, why will you wipe out the inheritance, the legacy of Hashem? Let me figure out what to do with this rebel and we can have peace. So Yoav stops the attack. She, in her chachmah, figures out what to do with this rebel. Basically, has his head cut off and thrown over the wall. And then Yoav says, that's enough for me. And the rebellion is ended. But she is another, an isha chachma. And I think that tells us a little bit what chachma means, and that's what I want to look at. What is she doing here? That both of these cases are trying to make peace in the face of war. They're not doing it necessarily by logic, by figuring things out, but by appealing to the emotions. And I don't think that's a fact of isha issue. I think that's the chachma. That's what chachma is. And we have Yirmiyahu, when he talks about you need to start mourning over your shrine, even though it hasn't been destroyed yet, but it's going to be. Source 38, call those who mourn, they will come. Those who are have chachma, and they will stimulate the emotions. And the way I would... I want to encourage people to talk, because it's very hard for me to lecture here. So please offer feedback. And then what I want to look at, the difference between Chachma and Bina, as it's used in Tanakh. And Bina is from Ben. Bina is analytic. Chachma is holistic. It's looking at, it's much more intuitive. And I would say, if you had to put it in more modern terms, Chachma is right-brained. Bina is left brain.
Is emotional intelligence.
Yes, thank you. Let's put it that way. It's emotional intelligence. But also it's not just the emotions, but also figuring things out in a holistic sense. And that gets to be a little bit more Kabbalistic, but I think that's going to be useful for looking at the Tehillim side, which I want to do. And this-
Danny.
Yes.
I wanted to raise a thing about this particular Isha Chachma, that when Rabbi Shulman was teaching us about this incident, he was saying, trying to speak, explain some halacha, like if you're coming because of one person and they turn the person over to you, then you don't have to kill the whole city or where the person's
right.
Found. Yeah. So the fact that she knew that was more than just emotional intelligence. She also had, you know, and let's say Jewish intelligence also.
Right, but I guess my point is her argument to Yoav is not that. She doesn't make it a legalistic, doesn't make a halachic argument to Yoav. That is what she does. And that's one of the places we learn about the question of hostages and you have to give over one to save others and all of that. But in terms of, that's what she does, but in terms of what she says, it is, you know, you can't do this, you're going to destroy all of us. And this gets back to the Agada that this particular Isha Chachma, the second one, is Serach Bat Asher, who lives forever. But we're going to get a little bit Kabbalistic. We're going to try to see what we can do. That Chachma is part of the Midat HaRachamim, the holistic. Everything is together. Bina is that other side of it. we look at the Sefirot, the manifestation of Hashem, Bina is part of the Midah Adin, what makes distinctions. And this is, we're looking over here in Source 39, this is Vicky Shiva, which is a great source for Wikipedia for Yeshiva issues. That Chachmah is Chachmah Nimshalat Lezeres, that it's like seed, that has infinite potential. That's what Chachmah is. Yitzhar Mashu Chadash, Alo Muskal Otsio Levad, Elapoel, has potential with it. With Chachmah, that's for potential, but it doesn't actually make anything specific. Whereas Bina is what turns that Chachmah into specific things. And if looking at it Kabbalistically, those are the pathway which Hashem creates the world. It starts with the Chachmah and then turns into the Bina with the actual specific things. And so the Bina hu ha-shalav ha-shlishi b'ratzon Elokei, Bina is the third level, the third sphera. Mashmura Bina hu lakachat et ha-rayon ha-klali, it takes the general idea, v'fateach oto l'pratim, and develops into details. V'vdok ketzat hu nitan l'mimush v'mitziot, how to turn it real. Bina nimshala l'rachem. And that's a Bina is... is likened to the womb, which makes for the irony that Midat HaRachamim, in a Kabbalistic way, is the masculine side, and Midat HaDin is the feminine side. So that's talking about physiology, not about personality, but men and women. The Bina Makebot HaZera, which is the Chachmah, and grants it the possibility of being real. So, but again, Chachma is this global, holistic idea. And how that is relevant to us is looking at Tehillim. Because we have all these words of, these descriptions of Tehillim. And we haven't talked a whole lot about that, but I want to at least introduce the idea. And this is from Gemara Masechta Pesachim in Source 40. There are 10 different terms of phrase, 10 different ways that each parak is introduced. There's a minitzuach, there's a lam natzeach, there's nigun, talk about niginot, maskil, mizmor, shir, ashrei, tehila, tefila. Hoda, hallelujah, as gedol mikulan, this hallelujah is the highest one. These 10 kinds of koteret, of introductions to each parak of Tehillim. And it's never quite clear what they mean. But the Zohar specifically looks at that and says each one corresponds. You've got 10 here, you've got 10 sphirot, manifestations of the divine, that each one corresponds to another sphira, another way which we see Hashem in the world. And they actually have meaning. So a shir is different from a mizmor, is different from an lamanatzeah. And then some of them have more than one. You can try to look at that in there. And I know that we're going to figure that out. I don't know that David actually had such a structured way of looking at it. I'd say the Kabbalah has the Bina side of it, right? They're trying to be analytic. This is the Ari Lurianna Kabbalah, where everything fits into these various categories. David is much more Chachma. It's much more holistic, much more poetic. But I think that the Kabbalah looks at these different things, looks at the Parakim of Tehillim, and tries to find some common theme. So I think it's a useful way of looking at Tehillim. It may not be absolute that this is exactly what a shir means every single time, but I think it's a useful way of putting it together. And going back, that's the difference. So now we're gonna look at what's the difference, what is specifically shir and mizmor we're gonna look at. What's a shir and a mizmor? That there are two different ways. We talk about Midat HaRachem and Midat HaDin, two broad categories of way we look at everything outside of us. Are we part of the greater whole, or is it all something separate from us? In terms of how we relate to Hashem, that's the difference between Ava Hashem and Yirat Hashem. Ava is the love that we are one with Hashem, and Yira is Hashem is infinitely far away. We would call that the idea that God is immanent versus transcendent. Here, the Moishi is Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, or is infinitely far away. And in terms of Sefer Tehillim, that's the difference between Shir and Mizmor. And this is what Rav Huttner says in Pachad Yitzchak, source 41.
So some of Mishlei are introduced with
Tehillim.
Shir LeDavid? Tehillim. What did I say? Oh, Mishlei.
Yeah.
Some of Shir LeDavid. I mean, I know Lam Natseach, but
right. So it's a Shir Mizmor.
And they use that word. We could categorize them.
Right. If you look at, let's see. I'm going to go pull this up over here. I'm going to pull up my. I actually printed this out, or I put it together. Give me a second. Anyone else have a little ticky noise with that? So this is every parak. This here is every parak Tehillim, and which what word it uses to introduce it.
Oh, cool.
First one is an Ashrei. Second one's a Mizmor. The third, fourth one is a Menatzeach. Is a Lamenatzeach, a Niginot, and a Mizmor altogether. And you can try to look for patterns in there. What do those mean? Each one how it's introduced. This is the way the Tikkuni Zohar puts it together, and this is the way Rav Huttner puts it together. There's a difference between a shir and a mizmor. I suppose part of that is the idea that mizmor comes from the root of zemer, which can mean singing, but also means to prune, to cut off. Again, it's the separation idea. That shir hu bitui lehit anug shel hagashat hit shaychut v'hamshacha. That a shir is an expression of our joy with our being connected and being and continuity, our feeling of being one with Hashem. Mizmor he betwili the nog shel hagashat ha nisgaviyut v'hafla'a, and a mizmor is a song. It's an expression of praise of the feeling of what Rav Soloveitchik likes to call the numinous, the exaltedness. God is separate from us. Is not close. We look at the glory, the awe. We may yotzei mizeh, and we can understand he habitui ha'itanug shel tenuat hitpashtut, that the expression of our joy and expansion by avodat Hashem in serving Hashem, he tokno shel shir. That's what shir is all about. A shir is expansive, bitui shel hitanug shel tenuat hitkavtzut, but of contraction. And he's going to connect this idea of Tzimtzum and Yira, this expression of contraction that I am so small in the face of the infinite God, B'avod Hashem, when I serve Hashem, who I tokno shel mizmor. That's what a mizmor is. And we can go through all Tehillim and see if that works in terms of the words there. But specifically, the Tikkuni Zohar says that Shir is the language of what we call Chachma. Chachma is this holistic. Shir is this expression of the holistic. Shir corresponds to our appreciation of Hashem's Chachma. And this is the way that Zohar puts it in its uniquely Kabbalistic way. Let's see if we can do this right. I'm a little afraid of Kabbalah. Tanina, the second one. It starts for the highest level, it starts with Asher, Av Ashrei. And then the second one is Bashir. The Chachma. Shir and Tehillim corresponds to this idea of Chachma, and it says it's Shar Yud. Shir is Shar Yud. It's God, it's singing to God. And the Zohar is very into looking at the shape of the letters, Utlat Yudin Inun Yud Yud Yud, and it turns, and that corresponds to 30. That if you look at a Yud written way right in the Torah, it's got three parts in it. So each one of those corresponds to 10. I'm not sure exactly what to do with that. Being Resh of a Sofa, Emsa, the Adjud. This is the beginning, the end, of the middle of the letter Yud. That corresponds to number 30. 3 times 10. What does 30 have to do with this? Ilan Tlat, Shabach David, Malka, Levrata de Malka. This is the 30 is how David praises, literally, Brata de Malka, the daughter of the king, which is the idea of Malchut, of Hashem, which is Hadadiktiv, which was what it says. Shir la ma'alot. And that's what the Zohar says. That is specific shir of David HaMelech because it has a lamed there. You look at all the other Shir HaMa'alot, it's Shir HaMa'alot. This one, Perek Tehillim, Kuf Chaf Aleph 121, is Shir LaMa'alot. Laman Ma'alot, 30 steps in Invadai. This is clearly, it's a song of the 30 steps. It's a Shir, it's an expression of Chachma of 30 steps. In Tlatin Dargin, these are the 30 steps. The Pabrata Salka Lagabai Abba, the way the daughter comes to the father. And if we know our Kabbalistic symbolisms, Brata stands for the sphere of Malchut, of kingship of Hashem ruling the world. That's kind of the lowest sphere when we have the direct involvement of Hashem. And the Abba is what we call Chachma. Abba is Chachma, Ima is Bina. So there are 30 steps to go from being a king to getting Chachma. That's what the Zohar is saying. Where does that come from? And what does that have to do with Shir HaMa'alot? The 30 steps comes to the mission in Pirkei Avot. Source 43. Gedola Torah yoter miyakuhuna, humina malchut. Torah is greater than being a Kohen, being a king. Shamachut niknet b'shloshim ma'alot. That's the Mishnah says that one acquires malchut, being king, but with 30 steps. Huna ba'ashri ma'arba, huna with 24, Torah niknet ba'arbi m'shmona devarim, and we acquire Torah with 48 things. And the Mishnah goes through the 48, but specifically this idea that malchut is acquired with 30 steps. And Rashi says, well, it's source 44, so malchut niknet b'shloshim ma'alot. And he says, well, it's not so much the steps to become a king, but it's the things that a king has. If you remember Sefer Shmuel, when Shmuel tells the people, if you get a king, then he's going to do all these various things to you and take your sons into his army and take all your crops and all that. There, if you list them all, Yisrael Melech, Amar Lahem, Du, Kikach V'Kach Mishpat HaMelech, you'll know this is what the king will do. Takar Hem Shloshim Devarim. If you count them up, you'll see there are 30 things there. Imotam Shishrim B'Sanhedrin, if you add the extra ones that are added in Perek Bet of Sanhedrin, about Melech Lodan, Wodinoto, etc. in the Mishnah there. But you can see there are 30 things that a king can acquire. That's not the same thing as the acquire it with 30 things, but he says, presumably those correspond. And the Esrim of Arba Matad 24, Matna Kuhuna, that's a separate issue. So the idea that to become a king, you need this Shloshim Ma'alot, and that's hinted at our Shir La Ma'alot. So we're going to look at Tilim Kuf Chaf Aleph. That is the Shir of, so it's the song of Chachma that belongs to the king. This is what a king needs to know in order to be a king. Shir La Ma'alot, we know this, we say it all the time, Esayinai Harim Me'ayin Yevo Izri. So what does that mean? What does Me'ayin Yovo Ezri mean? Art Scroll translates it as a question. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where will my help come from? And obviously I'm going to look to Hashem for it. So Hirsch says, no, it's actually, the entire thing is a question. Should I do this? Should I look at the hills for my help? Will my help, to see, should I look at the mountains to know where my help will come from? Maybe somewhere far away my help will come from. But my help will come. But the other way to look at it is that ayin doesn't mean from where, me'ayin means from nothing. Asayinai harim, me'ayin yabo ezri, I lift my eyes to the hills, that's not where my help comes from. I can't look out, hope for someone's going to rescue me from far away. Excuse me, the B'nai Yisachar, I mentioned on Friday as being the great grandfather of the sons of Rebbe, Hasidic Rebbe, 19th century, says that no, literally read ayin as nothing, but esanai el harim. I look to the mountains. May ayin yavo ezri. My help comes from nothing. What does that mean? It's a way of learning about humility. That's what this parak is about, and that's the connection to the king. Excuse me. Shila malog esanai el harim. May ayin yavo ezri. This is the Yes, of course. Yesh the Farish. we could explain it. Kesha asai nayal arim, when I look to the mountain, v'nei kiret tavoro karmel, harim gagnonim, and I look to these tall mountains, and specifically Tabor and Carmel are mentioned in Tehillim as being the harim gagnonim, the ones who are proud. Al shayabahem gabahut, they were proud of themselves. Masha ein kein Sinai. That's a classic medrash of why Hashem picked Har Sinai. Another Uncle Moshe, no. Marvel's Mios Machine. Hashem gave us the Torah, a little Har Sinai. Right, that all these mountains came to Hashem and said, give the Torah on us. I'm taller, miracles happen on me. Sinai said, no, I'm the smallest one, I don't deserve it. Har Sinai was a Har Yechemed. Elohim, this is the mountain that God desired. Asher Namuch, because it was the littlest mountain. Ki'ilu batel agabei harim agavohim, and it was nothing compared to all these high mountains. That's what Esai Nayal Harim. I want to look at the mountains and look at this medrash about mountains. Dekatuv Esai Nayal Harim. I look at the mountains, depanen al yedei harim. I understand via these mountains, ki me'ayin yavo, me'ayin yavo ezri. That should be an ayin there. That kesh'ani ayin, it's only when I consider myself nothing, but efes, az yavo ezri, then I will get help. If it's all about me, then Hashem is not going to help me. Akena mar bekan shir lamalo. That's what the shir lamal, the lamed there is. Shu malchut hanignet b'lamed ma'alot. Like we said before, it's a hint of the idea that this is the shir about how does one acquire malchut. Not power, but how do you become a melech? The answer is you have to be considered an ayin, a nothing. That the king rules over all the people. V'David haya mit aden atzmo ketolat, and David compared himself, considered himself like a worm. V'amar asana asainai, etc. Yisrael el ve'reki bibichinat ayin yavo ezri. It's because of this ayin, because of this nothing, that my help will come. So it continues. Ezri me'im Hashem. In order to be a melech, you can't say, okay, I'm a power, I've got an army, I can kill people. You have to say, no, Ezri me'im Hashem, Oseh Shamayim Ba'aretz. That the help, my help comes from Hashem, who makes heaven and earth. And Hirsch emphasizes that this Oseh here is in the present tense. This is ongoing. Hashem is continually creating. And that's why Hirsch says it. So Lord, who did not simply create heaven and earth one time, but shapes them even today. I have to realize that Hashem is affecting the world today. And what is Hashem going to do for me? I will not allow my legs to slip. My guard will not sleep. The one who guards Israel will not sleep nor slumber. Hashem shamrecha, Hashem tzilcha al yad minecha. Hashem will guard you. Hashem will be your shadow on your right hand. And that's what the idea is, that we need Hashem to help us, because no matter how powerful a human being is, they still sleep occasionally. They still can't be up at watching 100% of the time. The Malbim in source 51. Hinei lo yanum, shlo yanum machmat le'ut v'cholusha. Hashem, unlike a human being, will not fall asleep because of being exhausted, of being overworked. Yotemize, even more than that, kilo yishan klal, doesn't even sleep. Kilo nimsa isto teba shena, that we sleep every night, not because we're tired, just because our body just says it's time to sleep. Not like that. Shebet adam, af mishlo yanu machmat ayifut. As a human being, even if they're not exhausted, they haven't done anything all day. Some of those just sitting at home all day know that. You still sleep. Hello, muchrachu lishan, you still fall asleep. Lamid as shomer achar tachtav, need somebody else to guard. That's not what Hashem is. Hashem is there 24/7.
This is a really good Tehillim to be saying now.
Yes.
Just fits in a lot of ways.
Right. That's what we recounted, that, you know, yes, we do what we can do.
Yeah.
The fact is that all this social distancing and the lockdown and all that is not going to affect the actual virus. It's a hope of slowing the spread. But we're still left with Esenai Alarim, Me'ayin Yevo Ezri, right? Ezri Me'am Hashem. That is what we have. And again, it should be as a refuah shleimah.
So which one is this?
121. Kuf Chaf Aleph. It is one that's commonly said if you're saying Tehillim.
Yeah, when I
excuse me, I want to go back to the beginning of the psalm.
Yeah.
Esayinam Elah Ha'arim. You sort of translated literally, I turn my eyes to the hills, and then it says, where will my help come from? Or, Mi'ayinavo Israel, yeah. From my nothingness will my help come. That it's very poetic, you know, you're sitting right there in despair, and you look out on the horizon. Let's say in David, he's in Yerushalayim, and he's going to be looking at the Harim, and he's looking for help.
Right.
Not specifically, you know, at the mountains, you know, around him, but in despair, looking out.
Right, that's what we're looking at, that, you know, if you're sitting there, you know, if you're literally besieged, that's the image. I'm in a war, and I'm looking for, I'm waiting for the cavalry to come over the mountains.
Yeah.
Right. Then I know that Gandalf will come with the riders of the Rohirrim at dawn, and I just have to hold off the orcs until then.
I hadn't thought everybody it like that.
What? I hope everybody knows.
Away.
Yeah, and that's the image I get, right? You know, okay, but that's not going to happen. We're not looking at the mountain, and that's not where the help is. It's got to come from Hashem, from us. And part of what Hirsch reads it as the tzilcha, and it, you know, continues on of Yom Hashem Shlul Yakecha Barech Balayla. The day, the sun will not harm you during the day, and the moon at night. It says that's a metaphor of the fact that we need to realize that we need to protect it from the good as well, from our good fortune. And that's the way Hirsch puts it, very poetically, but that the sun represents the prosperity, and when things are good, we still need to have that sense of ayin. You realize that our help is coming from Hashem. We can't say, okay, kol kibatz miyadim, it's all about me. Because then when things suddenly go wrong from a completely unexpected direction, you realize that I don't have anything. That's the way he puts it. When the sun of prosperity stands at your right hand, he's also your shade. Hashem, that's what it means to shade, to protect me from that sun. The glitter of good fortune will not dazzle you and make you arrogant. And the sun of the day of joy will not harm you. And during the nights of misfortune, your awareness of the Lord and your trust in him will gently dispel the gloom of sorrow for you. Even the moon brightens the darkness of night. So we need Hashem day and night, both the time, both in good fortune and in bad. And to recognize that. And he continues on. So that's the idea of Yomam Hashemesh Liyakecha V'Rerech B'Layla. That's not both, Hashem protects us both during the day and during the night. Hashem Yishmarcha B'Kol Ra will protect you from all evil. Yishmar Nafshecha will guard your soul. And Hashem Yishmar Tzedcha V'Echa Me'atah V'Elam, and will guard the coming and going. And it, again, we said this is the Shir Malach to the king, and that what is Tzedcha V'Echa specifically is referring to the coming out in battle. That's the role of the king, specifically referring to, and for David, talked about him being Kol Yisrael, Ahavet David, everyone loved David, he who yotzei, who balik mehem. He would lead them out, bring them back in. And that's what this parak is, that once the shir olam ma'alot, when you to acquire this nature of what, understanding what malchut is all about, then you still have to trust in Hashem, Hashem will guard that, tzeitecho v'echa, going out. Protecting battle, but protecting us in daily acts of whatever we're doing over here. That doesn't connect back to our story. So again, I think that it goes back to this idea of a shir being the chachma, and that this is what David is trying to learn, that we spent so much time looking at this isha chachma from Tekoa and every her lesson to David about you don't have to solve every problem. That's what she tells him. She tells him specifically, Kimot namut, that we all die. Like water spilt on the ground, it will never be brought back. That Hashem will take care of the justice. You don't have to tell anything. You do not need your revenge, specifically in this case against Avshalom. You can bring him back to the people and reestablish your malchut of tzedakah and mishpat. Excuse me. But you need to learn. Excuse me. You need to learn this lesson that me'ayin yavo ezri, that it's not all about you. And this becomes the point where David does learn this, because what's coming now is the rebellion of Absalom. He's going to let Absalom back. And Avshalom is going to decide that, David, you're a weak, you're a wimp, you shouldn't be king anymore.
But they have a few good years together, no? 2 years later?
They don't.
Oh.
They come back to Yerushalayim, but they don't talk to each other at all.
Oh.
You look at it, yeah, and Avshalom just really frustrated because Avshalom expects that he's going to be brought back and he's going to be the crown prince and everything be wonderful. But David does, you know, says you can come back here, but I don't want to see your face. They don't ever meet again. And David is the one who realizes that throughout all of this, it's not about me. It's about Hashem and saving Bnei Yisrael and being a leader of the people, where Avshalom is all about the power of me. And we'll see that contrast developing over the next few parakim. We know what happens. David will survive. Avshalom will not. But I will stop here. I have to put the next shiur together and say, so next Friday is Yontif, so Nochem Hashir. And I'm going to say no Machshir on Sunday. I'm not sure what I'm doing on Chol Hamoed, but we'll start again.
I have a chiddush.
Yes.
I think the name of the second Isha Chachama, think her name was Shlumei Emunei Yisrael.
Yeah, you could read that. Shlumei is actually the name there. What would it go?
It's a good name.
The name of Shlumei, yes.
Well, the whole thing,
Shlumei Emunei Yisrael. Anochi Shlumei Emunei Yisrael. Or I would say her name was Shlumei. You still have to say that. You have to say Emunei Yisrael as I am one of the faithful.
Okay, yeah.
I am Shlumei. But still, Shlumei still is that. The name then symbolizes, okay, I am looking here for peace. I am Shalem, complete and whole. Which again was the idea of Chachma. I'm the person.
Shlumei. I like it. Shlumei. Shlumei.
Name next grandchild that.
Yeah, I don't get to know.
Nice. Does Midrash say who she was? Do we ever know who she is?
Yeah, so that's always a problem. That the Misha Chachma from Tekoa, no one mentions. We have no one says who that might be. She just comes, she goes, and she's gone. She's like one of these Ish, one of these, and some parts of that, like a Malach or an Ish Elohim comes in the middle of something, gives a message.
Oh, she has a lot of lines.
She has a lot of lines. It's a huge dialogue, but we don't even have it in a Gadic source. The second Isha, the guy says she's Serach Bar Asher.
Oh.
And the idea that Serach Bar Asher is the one who carries the tradition, the mimetic tradition of salvation throughout the generations. Whenever Serach appears in the Midrash, we had one here on that.
Save that prayer.
I'm sorry?
Sorry, no.
Serach is the one who says, oh, I was there, I saw this.
Yeah.
She's also the one that tells Yaakov. Don't they send Yaakov? Sure, right. Yaakov.
Right, so that's part of the Agada, but she continues on afterwards. And she is the one who tells Moshe where Yosef is buried. After all the years,
and also she interprets the signs that Moshe tells them to prove that he's sent from God.
Code, you code, right? It says that she's put that.
So the pay. Aviva Zornberg, likes her. Does a lot.
Yeah.
For her. Sarah.
Remember that, Janet? The pay.
What?
A code.
Yeah. Pay.
Puff. Yeah.
Puh. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that. That was memorable.
Okay. Okay, but that's the second Isha Chochma.
Yeah.
Nice. I wish I had more. I there isn't any. I got on one of our story, which is the Isha Chochma from Tekoa. I'm the one who's talked about the Tekiah being the bringing people together. All that same idea of being holistic there. That's all me. Let's just see for whatever that's worth. Now we have done with our Isha Tekoa. We have David who has learned Chochma, and David who is the holistic, bringing everyone together. He's going to try. He's going to bring Avshalom in. But this is Shmuel Bet, so it's all going to end in tragedy. It is. But have a good day. Good cleaning for Pesach.
Good Shabbos, good Yontif, good everything.
Thank you, Danny.
Thank you so much. Have a good week.
Okay,
love
you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye